Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Welcome back, and it is Feedback Friday, and it is now or never. I can't emphasize enough what little time we have to kind of get this ship turned around. So anyway, there's a lot to cover, and as a matter of fact, last week, those of you may have noticed that we did not air Feedback Friday, and that's just because we had, I'll just allude to the fact that we were probably hit with a DOS, a denial of service, because all the other shows with Red State Talk Radio were able to get through, but we were not able to connect to the server. And so that happens, and usually that happens when I start really yammering on China. And I find it interesting that they did a DOS on me because, or denial of service, because we're talking about the Constitution and the ratification debates. And so why would they want to shut that down other than the fact that, if you understand, folks, as I look at the ratification debates over the past 200 years and how they have been buried and how everybody in academia and everybody in the know has done nothing. As a matter of fact, when the University of Wisconsin in 1976 started the documentation history of the ratification of the Constitution, this was a huge project. They started doing this, and as they started going through, I mean, this was huge news. This was University of Wisconsin, you know, as radical as the education system was, they weren't all brainwashed into necessarily the agenda, or maybe they were. And so this was huge news. They wanted to disclose the liberal nation that was created. And in so doing, they discovered that this nation was, or I should say our government, was basically, pigeonholed. It was basically denned into a very tight and specified power of attorney, which we call the Constitution. And so as we kind of cover these things in the ratification debates, you'll start realizing that everything that the federal government can do, their roles, responsibilities, their powers, and the property they can possess, all of these things are enumerated. In other words, they list them specifically. These are the only things the federal government can do. That's it. When it comes to roles, these are their only roles. When it comes to responsibilities, these are their only responsibilities. When it comes to powers, these are the only powers they possess. And when it comes to property, this is the only form of property that they can possess, and why? And so, just trying to make sure that you understand that, you know, apparently somebody out there did not like the idea or some of the content that we're covering in just covering the ratification debates. Folks, when you start realizing that these things aren't just insightful, these things are actually legal appendages to the Constitution. And so we got a lot of things to cover. I just want to let you know that we actually had, and we went down by one episode on last week. So anyway, it's kind of shifted all of our episodes. It is what it is. It's not the first time, and it won't be the last. It won't be the last. But needless to say that, you know, we're coming out, and we came out swinging the next day because we went back into the ratification debates, and we had to forego Feedback Friday. Now, today, this is pre-recorded, but today I am going to be speaking, even though I'll be speaking before the show airs, I will be speaking at the Lander Rally to Save Wyoming. And so I'm doing it virtually because of, you know, my lung issue and, you know, the ability to travel and so forth. And they're being very supportful and very accommodating. And so I am hoping that the time that I have in the slot, because I'm leading off, will actually help pique people's interest to, you know, really get them convinced that they need to really start getting their arms around this. They need to start becoming a part of the solution. Because, folks, either you're a part of the solution or you're a part of the problem. And ergo, if you are not engaged in what it takes to save and turn this country around, because I'll tell you, the myopic issues, whether it be health freedom, whether it be education, whether it be any of these things, and there's a long laundry list of things that are being done, even election fraud. All of these things, if you go out and you say, we're going to turn this one thing around, you don't have the time and you won't save our Constitution. We have to demand full compliance of the Constitution, period. Period. That's what we have to demand. So we didn't get a chance to have Feedback Friday, but we're going to do Feedback Friday today. And so with that, we kind of want to get into some of the things that we missed last week. Now, one of the things I was going to talk about was the Red Pill Expo and the great success that Paul Venable had. And so now we're almost 2 weeks later. And so if you didn't get a chance, and if you have an opportunity, in the very last event of Red Pill Expo, Paul Venable sat right next to G. Everett Griffin, and the event kind of went, you know, it was really an ad hoc type of thing, because they originally were going to talk about certain things, and they wanted to get Paul in, as well as, you know, Ed wanted to kind of talk and lead everything off regarding the parties. And it's interesting that they're talking about this concept of, you know, trying to eliminate the party system, and Ed wanted to create his own party. I honestly believe that we actually have the makings of a perfect storm, and I've been telling you this for well over a year. I've actually been saying this for years, that the Constitution Party is in the position of being able to actually become that high ground, get to the top of the mountain, and shed all of its agendas and become a party focused on constitutional compliance. And in so doing, they can actually make every party obsolete. Because when people start realizing that all the parties are looking to do is trample on the Constitution one way or the other, and, you know, as we really look and examine why we're in this mess, I think it's only logical to say that if we put aside the agendas and get back to compliance of the Constitution, our lives would be so much better. I just imagine what we'd be paying for food, gas, and everything else if our dollar was based on the gold currency. And just imagine if the federal government wasn't, you know, out there manipulating biological weapons with the NIH or NHI. I think it's NIH. Yeah. Anyway, because you got to remember that this whole SARS virus and all of these things, they were originally developed here in America and then taken to China. We were doing these things, and then we said, you know what, this is too dangerous, we shouldn't be doing it here. And I honestly believe that that's really not what happened. I believe that was the dialogue and the narrative, but I believe the backroom, you know, meeting was, you know, we really don't want this to actually spill out coming from America. We don't want the world to see, you know, how evil this, you know, what we're doing. We don't want people to really see what we are doing. Because everybody knows now that we've been funding this gain of function and everything else. All of this stuff started coming out, but we covered all of this in January in 2020. We covered all of this so that everybody could see that there was a history behind this, and we were the proponents for all of these things. Now, I've been telling you that our government has been orchestrating warfare against the people in so many ways, whether it be the invasion on the southern border, whether it be the economics, whether it be energy, whether it be creating dependency on the global production of food, as well as the supply chain and everything. I mean, we're so dependent on this global system. And this turns right back to, who was the one president that said that this is what we needed to do? George H.W. Bush. Remember, George H.W. Bush was talking about the new world order and the new global economy and all of that stuff? Are you kidding me? Folks, we've been set up. This was the design for a very long time. And I even have history on this, but I can't and won't talk about it at this point in time. So what we do want to do is we kind of want to get into all of these things that, you know, have kind of transpired or things that we think are just absolutely worthy of being discussed. And so we were going to cover those, but let me kind of cover these obligatories, excuse me, because we haven't covered them. Wyoming Conservative Chronicle, if you haven't done it, go and get a prescription or subscription, actually, for the Wyoming Conservative Chronicle. If you're looking for education and help and coaching regarding how to become more financially independent, go see Gary Smith at Fortitude Financial Coaching. If you're looking for just education on the Constitution, go to Constitution Education US, reach out to Keith Borders. If you want something tailored, he will work with you and just, you know, he'll do this stuff for free, but please send him some donations. If you are looking for beautiful hardwood furniture, TimberNation.com is where you want to go. And Stan Kluett at RadioDustCovers.com is the place where you can get, you know, protective covers for all of your expensive gear. Finally, Ad Local. They have campaign sites. They provide all different types of services. Go to adlocal.com if you are looking to get into the campaign. I know it's kind of late, but if you're looking to have site development, security, those types of things, check out adlocal.com. They'll help you with all sorts of marketing and ISP stuff. We'll be right back after this.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me kind of get into what we want to kind of cover for today. And so we are in the heat of the campaign season, right? So those of you who we're working with, if you're actually out there campaigning and you're trying to campaign on the Constitution, you haven't reached out to us and you're doing okay, that's great. But if you need some help, if you have not looked up the comprehensive listing or comprehensive positions that you need to campaign on for your county, state, or federal positions that you're campaigning for, if you go to the Take Action page, that list, it's 30 some odd pages, but those campaign positions you need to be on are right there. We're trying to help everybody understand. You know, it's not about your ideas against somebody else's ideas. As a matter of fact, that's the real problem. Let me kind of back up, because something happened a long time ago, and actually it's happened several times in my life, and it's probably happened to you. I'm not sure if you've ever been, and I'm going to use the word because nobody really bullies me, but I think the trigger word for people is being bullied. I'll actually allude to the concept of a Spanish Inquisition. Have you ever had a conversation over religion with somebody, or ideology even, where this person is so adamant that they're willing to force, pummel you, and come and attack you for thinking or believing differently? And so it's happened to me several times, and I've witnessed it in the workplace, you know, amongst Christians. It's the Spanish Inquisition amongst Christians, because you gotta look at, you know, what was going on that caused the Spanish Inquisition, or many of the wars throughout Europe, the religious wars. Because the difference, how dare you think differently than we do? This is a very, very dangerous doctrine, a philosophy, and this is not of Christ. Christ wants people to choose for themselves. He doesn't want people to choose because they're at the end of the sword. And so there are other religious doctrines that actually have that the force and compulsion doctrine as a part of their faith, which is Mohammedan. If you look at the Islam and Mohammedism and the Mohammedans prior to Muslims, I mean, Muslims were, prior to Muhammad, Muslims were very, they were amenable. They actually fought next to and with the Jews and the Christians. They really didn't take a side, and their position was that, you know, these were good people. And then all of a sudden that changed. For hundreds of years they were good people, and then all of a sudden it changed. And so as we look at compulsion, as we look at this concept of these in these conversations, what I'd like to do is I'd like to put this into a context for you. Just imagine, because our Creator, our Father in heaven, our God, created all of us. There's not one life on the face of this earth that wasn't created by Him. Whether that be, you know, the smallest life of an insect, to the life of a human being. And there were very specific things that He endowed and basically charged us as the humans on this earth to do. Obviously, He gave us dominion, all of these types of things. And so anybody that is very abreast and has a good understanding with the Constitution, not the Constitution, I'm sorry, the Bible and Christian philosophy and biblical doctrine, you have a good grasp on these things. Nowhere was there ever a point where, when it came to believing and following Him, because He was a God of jealousy, and He created commandments, and for His people specifically, they needed to follow these commandments, or they were sinning, and if they fell from sin, they were to be cast out. Now, that was a paradigm that He taught within Israel. But when Christ came along, it was the new covenant, and, you know, this whole concept of repentance, forgiveness, and these things that didn't exist under Mosaic law, and it didn't exist under Mosaic law because Israel had proven that they couldn't handle the greater laws. I mean, they couldn't even handle going into the promised land when they were brought right to the doorstep of it, and they were told to go in because they just lacked faith. Anyway, what I'd like you to do is, now understanding that He, our Creator, created all of us, now I'd like you to put this into context if you have children, or as a child of two earthly parents, how would your life be if your parents actually stood over you and compelled you to believe and act specifically to how they dictated what they believed you had to do? regardless of how they started, teaching and what scriptures, whatever. It doesn't matter. Everybody believes that they have the truth. But imagine your life under the life of compulsion and the threat of death or the threat of harm. Imagine that. Now, how and why would our Creator think that that's a good thing when clearly Christ did not teach, nor was there ever any point that he taught that you had to be compelled to actually believe him and follow him? What he wants is he wants you to have the truth so that you can make the best decisions for yourself. And he believes, and I believe too. I shouldn't say he believes. At least I believe. I believe that he wants you to choose for yourself and that if you have the truth, you will make the best decisions. There are some of us that won't. There are some of us that are just, I'll use the word hell-bent, on making the wrong decisions. But how appalling is it to live a life of compulsion, to live a life of slavery? I'm telling you, folks, that's what the government is trying to do. And when we see patriot Christians out trying to do those types of things, it makes me disgusted. It's not just disappointed. It makes me disgusted and upset. Because they're actually creating such a toxic environment that they're not helping at all. They're actually doing more harm than good. You know, they may be really good people, and their heart may be in the right spot, but what they're doing and how they're doing it is absolutely harmful. Absolutely. And so all I can say is that we all have the opportunity, we all have the privilege of being able to, you know, choose for ourselves and follow it. And there's, even though there are environments, you live in Saudi Arabia, you live in an Islamic state, you don't have choices. You will either be killed, dismembered, what have you, but you either choose to live this way or you pay the consequences. Fortunately, we live in America, and I believe this is why the Constitution was written in a way that it could actually expand throughout the world. Because I believe the people of the world, not those in charge, not these zealots, not these people conducting their own inquisitions or their own compulsive government, I don't believe that they would actually have power, because I believe that the people would absolutely rise up and say, we want to be free. Now, there have been, and there are cultures, again, the Mohammedans is one culture that is, it's going to be hard to unindoctrinate that paradigm because it is so toxic. Well, anyway, I just want you to think about that. I want you to start thinking about the importance of liberty and what we're doing and why this Constitution is so important. Now, let's get back into the heat of the campaign season. If you are getting out, if you're going to go to a town hall meeting, if you're going to go and actually meet with anybody running for Congress, for the U.S. Congress, whether that be voting for your senator, meeting the candidates, or meeting the representative who you're going to be sending to Congress, you must get them to commit. You got to get them to commit to removing Biden. Now, we've created a script for you, and that is on the Take Action page. Now, I'm going there right now, and I'm going to confirm where that is so that you can actually look at this, you know, this, go to this page, the Take Action page, and right there at the very top, it's the January 6th incumbent script. Now, this has most everything you need to basically identify to your senator or your representative or whoever's running for those seats what you need to say. If you don't know the words to say, it's right there. We created a script for you. You need to invoke and demand that everybody in that legislative district, actually congressional district, or in your state for senator, everybody understands that this particular race, the 2022 race, we have an opportunity to demand Congress commit to doing the job that they should have done January 6th in 2021. That the blood is on their hands for allowing the seating of an unconstitutionally seated president. They had no right. They were obligated to reject the unconstitutionally formed Electoral College. Now, I'm not talking about getting rid of the Electoral College. Every time I say this, there's these, I don't say wackos, but people that quickly rush to judgment. Oh, you want to get rid of the Electoral College? Because they don't even understand what I'm saying. They don't understand what an unconstitutionally formed Electoral College is. And this is really sad, folks. But you need to get out there, and you need to read these scripts, and we need you to do this. We'll be right back after this.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so why is this so important, folks? Because America needs a new president. America needs a constitutional president. America needs you. This isn't important for us. This is, who in America doesn't think that getting rid of Biden would be the best thing for America? And that's sad. That's so pathetic. But the fact is, when I say that they're committed to actually engaging and orchestrating warfare against our Constitution and you, folks, there's no evidence that can prove me wrong. There's overwhelming evidence that actually proves all of this. And what's sad is nobody else is recognizing this. And people are saying, these are bad policies. No, this is actually warfare. Go look up the different forms of warfare. Look up what economic warfare is. Go look up what cultural warfare is. Allowing cultures to actually invade you and take you over. That they're actually allowing that. They're also allowing cultural warfare, or if you want to call it an economic warfare or a multi-pronged type of warfare, allowing foreign nations, allowing foreign entities to try to own. The Constitution does not allow a foreign entity to own any American resource. As a matter of fact, the federal government prohibited states from allowing any private entity, U.S. citizen entity, of owning specific national resources because they were a national resource. Now, I know I'm getting a little animated, and I'm probably going to have some, you know, extra time in cleaning up this show. And what dynamic peaks and editing, that type of thing. But anyway, the whole point, my friends, is, you know, it's overwhelming. And I can't believe why these astute, intelligent, well-articulated conservative entertainers are out there speaking like idiots. Tucker Carlson is actually kowtowing to this concept that going into the People's House, the capital of the United States, when Congress is in session and they've locked the doors, they have no constitutional authority to lock those doors. And I'm telling you, folks, we have really turned the table to where they believe they're above the law, and that we no longer have a representative government. We have a dictatorship. And it is all this huge amalgamation of representatives, a king, and an oligarchy of robes that are going to rain upon us whatever they think is best. That is all unconstitutional. So, to be very, very clear, it really upsets me when I start hearing and seeing, you know, Tucker Carlson or Charlie Kirk, Sean Hannity, all of these people kowtowing and supporting this concept that what happened on January 6th, the break-in, was wrong. However, everything else was... Are you kidding me? The break-in... Not that I'm here supporting, you know, a violent intrusion, but I believe that those doors should have been broken. I believe something should have happened, some level of examples. But bottom line, before those doors should have been broken, we as the people needed to actually stand on the steps. We owe it to them. We owe it to the world to actually articulate that they are violating the Constitution that they're espousing, that they're supporting. They're pointing the finger at supposedly these patriots that are insurgents who are demanding compliance to the Constitution. Very poorly doing it, as a matter of fact, but nevertheless, their heart's in the right spot, and it gave the government all of the food, or I should say, all of the ammo that they needed to actually come and persecute, or prosecute, however you want to call it, these patriots. And that's a sad day in America, that government can get away with going after and hurting their own people in direct defiance of the Constitution. And so what we need to do is we need to start actually, you know, pulling our heads out of our backsides, and we have to admit and we have to agree that we are the problems. Folks, I say this a lot, and I don't say this maybe enough, that when you really look at all of the issues, are you a Second Amendment issue? Are you a person that supports, you know, or is fighting homosexual marriage, you know, and a baker's right to refuse to bake a cake? Are you truly supporting, you know, this education, you know, trying to take over education and get, you know, communism and sexual dysphoria and all that stuff out of our education? If you're drilling into myopic issues, it doesn't really matter what it is, whether it be voter fraud, education, invasion, it doesn't matter. What you're doing is you're wasting time fighting a tentacle of this beast. As Thoreau said, thousands strike at evil, but only one strikes at the root. At the branches of evil, and only one strikes at the root. And my point is, folks, that everything that we're fighting, these branches of evil, these are all the result of unconstitutional government. This is basically the downstream look. when we're looking at what's going on in education, when we look at what's going on in our farmlands, when we look at what's going on in, you know, on our southern border, and, you know, this permeation of invaders throughout the United States, all of these things that we're talking about, these things are all happening because the government is getting away with violating the Constitution and outright conducting a rebellion against it to overthrow our government. Liz Cheney is a part of this insurgency. They are actually conducting an insurgency against the Constitution and against we the people. So if you're fighting these tentacles, you're actually supporting them to destroy us. Anybody out there that is out there trying to fight abortion, and I know there's lots of people shaking their heads no, but the fact is, these are factions. Satan is dividing us, telling you that your cause is more moral than everybody else's, because it's about causes. And if it's about causes, we are destroyed already. But if it's about the Constitution and we demand compliance to the Constitution, we can be saved like that. And I seriously mean that. We can be saved that quickly. It doesn't take long. It would. You have no idea. Even though it took, you know, years and years and years to build Rome. People say it takes, you know, no time at all to destroy Rome. If you're looking at what's going on, the fact that we still have this Constitution and the fact that we can still stand up, definitize it, and demand full compliance to it, then you can actually see and understand, wow, we do have everything we need and we could snap this back relatively quickly. Why are we in this situation? Why are we, you know, having to face these types of problems as a nation? I mean, aren't we beyond this? We should be. But the fact is, these conservative entertainers and these myopic organizations that are dividing us are conquering us. Do they realize that they're tools for the dark one? Do they realize what they're doing? Do they care? And in all honesty, that's, I think, maybe the bigger issue. I don't think they do care. You know, it's really hard to kill the goose that lays the golden egg. Wow, that's a nice egg. I can't wait till I get my next one. Oh, I can't wait till I get, you know, because Mark Levin loves bragging about, you know, his audience and all of his money and all of the things he's doing. Here is a man that has written several books, and not once has he ever pointed to the, you know, the Christian morals and the Christendom of enlightenment in Western society that built, that basically prepared and built this nation as Europe was rising to power. It just gets in his craw that can't, he's never going to shine a light on that. And that's sad. You know, there are people that live and work and they, you know, you can tell that they do everything they possibly can. If you're aware of a Mark Levin book, send me the citation where he actually points to Christianity in America was one of the key factors. It was the key factor that created the Enlightenment, that created this Constitution and this nation. And so I'm here to tell you that if you've got that, send it to me. Because if I'm wrong, I stopped reading his books because he deliberately, you know, edited those types of things out. He never wanted to cover those things. But the fact is, folks, I think that none of these people care. I really don't think that they care. Because they're making all sorts of money. They clawed their way to get to the position that they've got. Now that you listen to them, you know, why give you solutions? Why not just talk about the problems and get you to agree, yeah, that's a problem. Oh, yeah, that's a bad problem. And not once offer you a solution. It's the same thing. It's the same thing with all of these movies you watch, whether it's Dinesh D'Souza's 2,000 Mules or any of these other ones. Nobody actually has a real tangible solution of what we have to do to restore America and get back. We'll be right back after these two messages. I don't want to bleed into these promos. So we'll be right back after this.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Actually, so let me kind of cover, because I think it's important, let me cover what really should have happened on January 6th. What should have really happened was there should have been a really, really good message out to all the patriots. Most people, they should have been aware of the Electoral College violation. They should have understood how 31 states violated the Constitution and how Congress was obligated to call these states out and say, we cannot accept your Electoral College because you violated the separations of power and you violated the essence of Article 2 and the 12th Amendment. Because clearly only the state legislators have the authority to change the manner in how you are to choose your electors. Governors, secretaries of state, and jurists do not have the constitutional authority to do this. So folks, you need to understand what's going on regarding January 6th. The federal court system really doesn't have jurisdiction over voter fraud and election fraud. But they do have jurisdiction over all things arising under this Constitution. And when states violate the Constitution, in so doing, the federal government can, and actually Congress, was obligated to set things straight. And they had a mechanism in the Constitution to deal with an inept, impotent Electoral College that could not choose the president because it was unconstitutionally formed. That's what the whole 12th Amendment was done for. That's why they created the 12th Amendment, is what I meant to say. And so what should have happened on January 6th was Congress should have basically said, because we do not have a constitutionally formed Electoral College, and because the states violated the Constitution, we cannot accept this Electoral College. Try again next year. Try again in the next election in 2024 and make sure that your state legislators are the ones who choose the manner. Now, then what Congress should have done was Congress should have executed the 12th Amendment and then gone into chambers, and the House of Representatives by delegation would have chosen the president. Which means what would have happened is that Trump would have been selected and chosen as president, not Biden. It's that simple, folks. You want to point to election fraud? You want to point to the rig, or you know, it being rigged or stolen, or the 2,000 mules? That's nice, but that doesn't get us to where we need to be constitutionally. If you really want to start cleaning up your elections, you have to take back your counties. And you actually have to really start working hard in getting not just your county, but all the other counties in your state to start, especially the red counties. And I'll say this because and I think it was Paul Venable maybe that mentioned this to me. Not that I'm not aware of this, but if you really look, is I think there's only like 3 states out of the entire union where there's more blue counties than there are red. So those states may be actually lost, but we're talking about small states like Delaware. Even California has more red counties than blue. And if the red counties were appropriately represented in the state legislature, in the Senate, as they should be, and each county had its own representatives. Now, here's the thing. What these blue states would do is they would increase the seating of their state legislators because they would realize, well, we want greater representation. And folks, in some ways, that's much better. But when we're all playing by the same rules, and the Senates in every state are representatives of the counties, then every Senate in every state except for 3 would be controlled by the red, or supposedly these conservative people. Now, I am here to tell you that when we look at what's going on in our government and you try to figure out, well, what kind of government do we have? Don't make the mistake of thinking that we're actually abiding by this constitutional concept of a Republican form of government. We have more of a party form of government. We have more of a democracy form of government. I mean, there's a lot of different forms of government, but we're not a Republican form of government because we're not even following by the rule of law. There are way too many places where we have lawmakers, or I will say people in political power, that are deliberately telling police to stand down, to not enforce laws. We're seeing prosecutors that are actually doing everything they can to not enforce the rule of law. In other words, when we see a prosecutor, and this is happening in my red county, fortunately, this corrupt prosecutor is not running for office anymore. But we actually had a prosecutor for years that was constantly trying to do everything they could to not hold criminals to the law and to just let them out. Oh, because it was about money. Oh, we didn't want to have to incarcerate these people. You know what? When you have a child and your child is behaving badly and you do nothing, and you, instead of, rearing, disciplining, and teaching that child that you can't do that and doling out consequences for bad behavior, then what you're doing is you're only enabling bad behavior. And that's exactly what these attorney generals and these district attorneys and so forth, prosecuting attorneys, that's what they're doing, is enabling bad behavior. In other words, they're undermining our Republican form of government. And if they've taken an oath, if your prosecuting attorney, your district attorney, your attorney general has taken an oath and basically has sworn to uphold and support the Constitution, then they're violating the Constitution, because we are to, right there in Article 4, we're to have a Republican form of government, which means we're required to have the rule of law. We are required to enforce the law. And if they're not living and enforcing the law, then they're violating their oath, folks. It's that simple. There's a lot of people that don't understand these things. And I'm just telling you, this isn't rocket science. When you really start putting these things together, you can do this. If you understand what a Republican form of government is, it's not just a representative government, but it's a government that is based and operated by the rule of law. And whatever laws we have to abide by. It's just like these laws that, you know, keep people from actually protesting and having rallies in the streets and on the sidewalks and blocking commerce and blocking your access. That's all illegal. Every city, every county, every state has laws on the books that demand that the avenues of commerce stay open, that you cannot block them. And yet we have judges and we have governments and people in government saying, you know, go ahead and let them do that there. Go ahead and let them hurt these people. You know, as long as they're not in our halls of legislation, in our halls of government, then we're okay with it because, you know, we can still do the evil stuff that we need to do because that's what they're doing. We can't let this continue. We actually have to start holding people accountable to their oath of office. We actually have to start using First Amendment petitions to demand that people actually follow this. But folks, it's not about just getting these petitions. You got to get people to start signing these, and you need people to start getting these petitions out. If you have to start walking and knocking on doors to get people to sign these petitions, then so be it. And while you're doing that and you're knocking on doors, because, you know, let's say it's just too hot right now where you live to just actually stand out in a parking lot or to stand in the shade because it's just too hot. You know, I get it. I saw this meme of the annual Phoenix Wiener, you know, festival. Wiener grill festival or, you know, hot dog festival, and it showed a car antenna, you know, those old, you know, sticking up in the air old antennas that, you know, aren't telescopic or anything, and it had like a series of six or seven hot dogs on it. And so, you know, I get it. It's so hot you can cook hot dogs, you can cook your eggs. It's that hot. It's summertime. We've got to be creative. We cannot allow weather, especially, I mean, would you rather be out there now or, you know, at least out there able to get around because you're not being shut down by a blizzard? I mean, it's absolutely impossible to do things in the middle, in the dead heat of winter, because it's not dead heat, it's freezing blizzard type of weather, you know, or a hurricane. You know, when you've got weather, when you've got things that accommodate, we have to adapt and overcome. We have to start trying to figure out what, you know, if I can't do this, then how can I do this in another way? If you've got to go out and get signatures for your petitions, you need to do this. Now, let me make this final plea. There are lots of you, and I'm not insulting people that support the Second Amendment or have groups that do this. You are subject matter experts. You should be willing to set aside your differences and start writing petitions that we can all work together, and we will help you get these petitions signed as well. It's the same thing with the education petitions. It's the same thing with health freedom petitions. Every single one of these groups have access and the ability to create petitions. They're smart. They're subject matter experts on these issues. Why is it that they're not contributing? If they understood the power of a First Amendment petition and educating the voters, because folks, in the next election, in 2024, we need to have so many petitions against all of these unconstitutional tyrants that we actually, and you need to have candidates to go against them, to challenge them. If we do this, we will take back your counties and parts of your state and even parts of federal government. Folks, this is simple. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.